Well, welcome to those of you who are joining us live or will be tuning into this online. And in God's providence, a lot has changed this week. A lot has changed even in the last part of this week and even in these last days, even in these last hours. As we all know, a global pandemic is spreading. Our state government has asked us to take further measures and hold off on smaller gatherings with certain parameters like we had originally planned. We've been consulting much with other pastors, respected voices, and sources of what other like-minded churches are doing in our state, and at least for today, this is what's happening. But I am thankful for technology, thankful that we are able to live stream. I think we have a bunch of you who are tuning in right now as I was looking at the numbers, and Lord willing, we will be able to be prayerful for God's wisdom for leaders of church and state. And we're hopeful that we can meet again soon in a way that would be respectful to our government directives. I want to talk a little bit about that interplay later from Scripture. But I can relate to Paul's words like never before when he said, 1 Thessalonians 2:17, "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, torn away in person, but not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face." That's the prayer and the desire of your leaders. I couldn't say it any better than Paul. We want to endeavor eagerly to do that, and I know there's leaders here who have made it possible for us even to, by technology. Thank you, deacons. Thank you, audiovisual folks, for all that you did on short notice. But I'll tell you, as we met as elders last night, we were torn. I'm considering being away in person from you, but as Paul says, we pray it's for a short time, and our hearts are with you, and we greatly desire to see you face to face soon, Lord willing, as we endeavor to see how we can gather in the future. So pray for us. And let me add what Paul says a little later in 1 Thessalonians 3. "We pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus," this is a great prayer, "may He direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts." And I pray even today the Lord will use His word to establish our hearts. If that's your heart, say amen. It's okay to say amen in your living room or wherever you are. I know some of you wouldn't dream of saying amen in church, but you can do it starting your home. I never dreamed there would be a Sunday like this. Things are going to be continuing to change next week. We may have time to look at how we can do things better next week as we have more time to plan that out. But as these things are changing, the one thing that does not change is God and His Word. And so that's what we want to focus on today. With all the bad news on media and social media, we need some good news today. That we need to hear that. And so I want you to turn to the book of Romans, which is a book all about the good news, the gospel that is the power of God for those who believe. And we're going to be in Romans 8, but I want to start in Romans 13 first. And actually I had to change gears even in light of developments and discussions yesterday. Things changed late this week and again even last night, and my message plans kept changing to try to keep up. But with local and national emergencies declared these last 48 hours, we need to hear about Christ, and we need to hear about a cure to fear. Our president declared today to be a national day of prayer, and so we will start there as well. But I want to read from Romans 13 before we pray. We were in Romans 12 last month. Let me just read some sections here from Romans 13 to orient ourselves to this time and then be praying for such a time as this. Verse 1, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist, these are authorities of government, have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Now look at verse 4, what it says of a governor. He is God's servant for your good. And remember, this is in the context of government leaders in the Roman Empire who were not believers. But even then, God has ordained them to be our servants for our good. But if you do wrong, it says to the citizens under the government, be afraid. Verse 5, therefore one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Some of us are very painfully aware of that this time of year. You pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God. This is again, governing authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. And verse 7 adds that we're also to pay them respect and honor. Verse 10, then love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Let's pray for our time in God's Word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for governing authorities on earth that you have appointed for our good. They are your servants. They are your agents, is what that means, to assist your purposes, including seeking to stop what would harm. We thank you for how you minister through those who protect and serve on local and national levels, and those who have to make the difficult decisions for their citizens, including weighing even possibly life and death situations for some. Our president, our governor, and authorities under them, including civil and medical authorities, are ordained by you and are instituted by you, as your word so clearly says. And for the sake of our conscience and for our community witness and our care for neighbors, especially those in need, Lord, we obey your command in this text. We know they are fallible. We certainly know we are fallible. And so we trust your infallible word, which tells us not to resist authority. We know this not only in Romans 13, but 1 Peter 2, 1 Timothy 2, and other passages. And so, Lord, we pray even that you would help us within the biblical parameters in this month. Help our leaders. You tell us here we don't need to fear if we submit to them, but we pray for those living in fear. Pray for those living in frustration. Maybe even right now, even as I say these words. There are many in our county, I think in particular, who are tempted to be suspicious of government rather than being subject to government. And certainly we have a much greater or much better government than the Roman government when Paul wrote this. Lord, we should be thankful for them. But Lord, we know they are imperfect, and so they need your wisdom. We pray that you would guide them by the right principles. And in the meanwhile, we submit so that we don't resist you. But Lord, this is much bigger than us and how this affects us. Lord, we want to pray for those in China. We want to pray for those in South Korea, those in Iran, those in Italy, those most affected, Lord. There are other countries in the developing world that, as this develops, may be more impacted, Lord, who don't have the resources. We pray for healthcare leaders worldwide to work with discernment. We pray for the global economic implications. We pray for relationships. We pray that you would guard and guide. Even many people involved in this don't know you, but Lord, they are ordained by you to seek to do good. We pray that they would act wisely, that they would not spark fear, that they would, even in how they communicate, have wisdom so that they are not provoking or stirring up panic. We want to pray locally also for people who are struggling, who are suffering. And I pray, Lord, that above all, we would want to care for them. We know different people will have different thoughts even on these matters, Lord, but we want to be sensitive to those who are concerned about, or may even know those who are ill or those who have died. We know there are, even in Sacramento, many in our state who are already impacted, and those numbers could grow this week. We pray that you would be gracious and merciful in that. But we pray for those who are healthcare workers, some who are part of our church, involved on the front lines. We pray for schools who I know have been canceled this week. We pray for their planning, that you'd give them wisdom as they take this week off to assess. And we pray for a lot of people taking this week to assess. And Lord, I pray as some focus on the stock market, others focus on stockpiling goods, Lord, help us to focus on our sovereign and good Savior. So we pray personally as a church, Lord, we of all people, that we would be caring for others, that we would be careful, but also that we would, as you call believers to, that we would be those seeking to help, and that we would turn to prayer to a greater degree, Lord, that you would use this to wake us up from any spiritual apathy or lethargy, that we as the church would see this as an opportunity to show the love of Christ. Lord, we can miss this opportunity if we focus on other things. We pray all these things in His mighty and merciful name. Amen. As I was looking at things to pray through, looking at different sources, there's some other things that I found online that I thought were helpful ways for us to, as we turn to God's Word, we're going to be in Romans 8, but as we think about us who are merely inconvenienced, we need to be thinking about those who are much more impacted by this, some whose lives are at stake. And may we who have no risk factors remember those who are vulnerable and most vulnerable. May we who have, I know some here have the luxury of working from home, remember those who can't, or those whose jobs and small businesses are going to be impacted by this. May we who have the flexibility to care for our children as they're not at school this week, when they close, remember those who that's much more complicated for. For those who have had to cancel trips this last week, we need to also be thinking about those who are wondering if there's even a safe place for them. For those of us who are losing our margin in the stock market, let's remember those who have no margin even to lose. And as some may have to settle in for being at home more, we need to also think of those, even in our community, who are homeless. And as one writer says, during this time when we cannot physically wrap our arms around each other as much as we might like, may God help us to find ways to be the loving embrace of God to our neighbors. And Romans 13, 9 through 10 says, loving our neighbors is the highest duty of the law. It sums up the law, as Jesus taught. And the law of governing authority here is connected in that context. Fulfilling the law is love. And our motivation as we seek to live within the laws and directives of our government isn't fear. It's actually following this text. We take this very seriously and looked at this very carefully. And we also have a responsibility to love our neighbors. And even as we think of the dozens of elderly believers who are normally with us on Sunday mornings, that's something we have to take time to think through, and others as well. And as I drafted an initial email Friday, one statement that we had in there was, we plan to abide by what our medical and civil authorities ask us, including if more restrictive parameters were given than just the number of people in a gathering, which we confirmed that was the case over this weekend. And so till there's more clarity, many in California are going to be gathering in houses more like New Testament times. But praise the Lord, in our times, many homes can hear the same message at the same time. This is really a unique time that we live in. And we're actually uniquely blessed, even in a church our size, to have the capabilities that we have on such short notice. And so we praise God for that. And I think it's also important for us to, as we think about these things, these limits that are that are being passed down to us aren't mean-spirited persecution singling out Christians. They are meant for the protection of citizens that they aren't sure are safe gathering close together at this time. And so I know even in our congregation, and I know even probably some of us listening right now, that some of us are going to tend to be more critical. That's just how we are, no matter what it is. Others are going to tend to be more cynical. And maybe even you've been thinking, even as I'm talking about some of those things, others tend to be more emotional. Others tend to be more fearful. I have no intent today to be political. My task before God is to be biblical. And as your pastor teacher, my goal today is to help shepherd us in how we should pray and what we should say in response to our world. So last month we were looking at Romans 12, where it says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, just the way that the world thinks or speaks. That can be our inclination, is just to kind of jump on the bandwagons of different voices we're hearing in the world, or on talk radio, or those voices on the media that we like. We're not to be conformed to that. We're actually to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we're actually thinking and speaking differently than everyone else who's talking about this, so that we will know God's will. And so I want you to turn to Romans 8. And in God's providence, this text that many of us are memorizing is very timely. And I would encourage you, if you haven't been memorizing with us, to take some time even today to begin to memorize Romans chapter 8 together. You're gathered with your families. This would be a great thing to do today when you aren't having as much time gathering with your church family. And I would just remind you, the goal of Scripture memorization is meditation for transformation. And so this actually helped me not to have to look for what to preach on today, just to look at the next text in what we've been memorizing, because I think it says it best. The next 2 weeks of our fighter verses are on Christ's unchanging love, Romans 8, 35 through 39. There's so much here and in Romans that speaks to those who groan, that speaks to those who fear. You're going to hear that in the text. And when I preached on this last month, I really didn't get to the end. I said maybe I would later. But I want to actually start earlier in the context, verses 15 through, and really see, going up to verse 28, that most famous verse, to see the powerful flow before that promise. So let me start in verse 15 of Romans 8. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. Look at verse 26. The Spirit likewise helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. It's hard to even know how to pray at times. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. And here's where we left off last time. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All God's people said, amen, amen. This is the context where Paul called Christians in that pagan persecuting Roman Empire to submit to their government. They had great fears in verse 35 and 36. Some would be killed as animals in arenas. Others would die by plagues, pestilence, or disease, or other dangers and distress. There would be times where they would be called to declare allegiance to the Caesar instead of Christ, or to say Caesar is Lord, and they would not submit to that because Jesus alone was Lord, and they were willing to go through all kinds of things. But those things did not conquer the church. They were more than conquerors in God. There's no violence or virus that will stop the church ultimately. And so what I want to do is just kind of take the outline and the sermon title, talk about the cure for fearful believers, and then the Christ who loves us so. The cure for fearful believers and the Christ who loves us so. And I'm speaking, I'm assuming, for those taking the time to be here to tune in to believers, some of whom may be fearful, but there are certainly those you know who will be fearful. There's unbelievers you know who are fearful. The Christ who loves us so. I want us to also think about the love of Christ in this time. But we need to think about this personally. I know there are people that we know, even in our community, who know people impacted by this. There are some who have family in different parts of the world who are threatened by this. But how is the church to respond to all this? Frank Erb reminded the men how we're not to respond. And we're not to respond. The passage of the hour, he said, isn't Romans 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. That's probably one that maybe we should not be doing right now. Mark Dever said at his church last Sunday, he actually modified it to a holy bow. So instead of kissing babies, hugging, handshakes and all that, he did what I guess they used to do in D.C. hundreds of years ago. They wouldn't shake hands, they would bow. James 4:8 does say, wash your hands, you sinners. That's a different context than here. But there is a biblical basis for illness isolating from worship in the Old Testament. We could look at some of those things. But in Romans 8, disease is actually part of this cursed, corrupt world. Verses 19 through 22, which we won't really unpack here today, talks about this fallen world. Romans chapter 5 talks about how death is spread because of sin, all sin. So death came into this world because of Adam's sin. Death comes to all because of sin. That doesn't mean our individual sins are always have a direct connection to those things. But this is the big picture of why the world is this way. But what's the cure for fearful believers? Because verse 15 says we're not to be enslaved to fears. We're not to fall back into ways that unbelievers are bound by fears, like a slave in chains. We should fall forward on our face, praying to our Father. We shouldn't freak out. We should cry out to Abba. That's the cry of a son in need. Abba, Father. A son who might be lost in a Middle Eastern marketplace to this day can still be heard crying out, Abba, Abba. That's the cry of a believer who knows God is his Abba Father. The word pandemic should not make us panic as believers. And why is that? It's because we have a loving Father who is at work. And in verse 16, His Spirit is at work confirming His children. Suffering shouldn't make us fear that we're not His child. In fact, verse 17 says we have to suffer, even as God's Son suffered. And we share in that. We share in His glory also. And verse 18 says it's all for future glory. There's something greater than what we see in the present. What's the bigger picture cure? I think verse 28 says this Father is working all things together for good to those who love Him. Let me ask you, does all things include coronavirus? Absolutely. All things includes all things. And how can all things, even on a microscopic level or a global level, how can all things be working together for good? It is because the Lord is sovereign. He controls all things. So I'm actually intentionally not using that other C word very much that we're hearing all the time. I want us to think about this other C word, Christ, His control. Abraham Kuyper, Prime Minister of the Netherlands in centuries past, said, "There is not one square inch on planet Earth over which the Lord, who is sovereign, does not say, 'Mine.' Everything is His." R.C. Sproul says, "There is no maverick molecule in the universe." We believe that. There's not a single thing that could be seen in a telescope or a microscope that is maverick, that is outside of God's control. Charles Spurgeon said, "God's sovereignty is the sweet pillow on which the believer can rest his head at night." God's sovereignty, if it weren't for God's sovereignty, we can understand why people are stressed out, freaked out, why people are concerned and turning to other means that we might even think are foolish. But if you've got nothing else to cling to, you can understand those things. You should have sympathy on those things. But if we understand God's sovereignty, that should help us rest at night. It's a pillow to rest our heads on at night. Corrie ten Boom, who had much to worry from the Nazis, she wrote this from her experience: "Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows, it empties today of its strength." Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows, it empties today of its strength. Solomon said, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." But we need to strengthen each other, and we need to be strengthened in not just worldly ways of thinking of how it's all going to be okay, because we don't know the future. But we need to have a greater source than what's going to develop this week for our strength. And I would urge you actually to listen less to cable TV and to listen more to Christ. To take time to actually look at the words of Christ. And I want to share some of those with you right now. Listen to Luke 12. "I tell you, my friends, do not fear. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows." There's never a single hair follicle that ever, the numbers of them, I could think of jokes, I'm not even going to go to jokes right now. You can think of your own, but God is sovereign over the hairs on our head. He's sovereign over the stars that Hubble will never see, that mankind will never see stars. God knows them by name. He keeps track of them. He numbers, not just that He knows the number, but He's sovereign over the little things like our hair follicles. And Jesus says, in light of that, "Do not be anxious about your life. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Do not be worried," He said, "fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And so He says, seek first, above all, the kingdom. That's what we need to be seeking and thinking about. His kingdom, His righteousness, His kingdom purposes. Those who are not in His kingdom, we need to be seeking and thinking about that. It's understandable you would want to keep up on what's going on, but let's make sure we're seeking more God's kingdom, His kingdom to come, His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says in that same chapter, Luke 12, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your treasure? Where is your trust? Maybe some of us haven't had to think about that as much, but depending on how things go in the future, we need to be thinking about that. Jesus calls us to think about where our treasure is, where we're investing in, where our hope is. Is it in this life or is it in heaven? These waves of coronavirus fears could subside next week, could settle down. The waves could get bigger in some ways, but either way, we need to look to the Lord who walks on the water, walks in the waves, comes to his fearful disciples and says this, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." He's there with them in the storm. He calms waves. He can calm worriers. He says this in John 14. It's one of the verses we looked at his staff this week and sent out. If you got the email, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." So this is a peace that you can't find on TV. You can't find from the world. This isn't peace just from how things are going. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." And remember, this is the context of where he's actually telling them something that was changing everything as they knew it. That he was going to die, and they didn't even understand all these things. Their whole world was going to be radically changed. It was not going to be life as normal for them going forward. But he says to them, "Don't be afraid. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace." In this world you will have trouble. So this isn't the absence of trouble. In this world you will have trouble or tribulation, but take heart, Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." Which takes us to our closing point. Christ, who loves us so. Christ, who loves us so. Look at Romans 8:35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger?" And he goes on. Here's the answer. Verse 38. "For I am sure, I'm convinced, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Say amen wherever you are. Listen, we don't know the future, but we can trust the one who not only knows the future, controls the future, holds it in his hands. We can be, as believers, sure of his sovereign love, his unchangeable love. And if our rulers make laws that temporarily separate larger gatherings of churches into smaller gatherings, and we think about how in working together we want to work on that, whatever that looks like, we have a big God, and there is nothing that can separate us from his love in Christ if Jesus is our Lord. So memorize these verses. And for those of you that have tuned in on our website, one of the flash pages there, the first one you see is black and it's the live stream link, but the next one or the one after that, it's a red one that says fighter verses. If you click on that, there's a sheet. I can't point you to the kiosk here today, but there you can get it online. You can print it out. There's the sheet there. Or just even right here in your Bible, take some sections here of Romans 8, especially this last part here, and memorize. Join with us, because I think we need to be reminding ourselves of these gospel truths. There's nothing that can separate believers from Christ's love. And so don't let this week be a week where you separate from believers. Don't give up meeting together in some way, whether it's smaller settings or getting together. We need the body of Christ. That's non-negotiable in God's Word. In New Testament times, believers often gathered in smaller settings like we do here. But we need the body of Christ. It's imperative that we are gathering with believers. Romans 8 is building the Romans 12, which is our commitments as members to live out Christ's love to others. And how that will look in the days ahead, we need to be talking about together. And so let me give you a homework for those of you that are at home or will be home later. Take time after this, as a family or as individuals, take time to look at Romans 12 in light of where we are as a church, and talk about ways that we can live that out this week, because those are still things commanded for us. But I want to end with thinking about how we can speak to the unsaved in this time. And there may be some listening or watching this, but we're all going to be talking to people who are watching us. Some of them know we're believers. Everyone's talking about this. We want to be talking about it in a different way than just the talk shows, the talking points that you see from others. We're going to have opportunities this week to model the hope that unbelievers don't have. And that they will notice. And some of them might ask the reason for the hope that's within us, but we need to make sure we answer with gentleness and respect. For some Christians, that's not necessarily our tendency, or hasn't even been our pattern in recent days of how we're talking about this to others. Listen, sarcasm about how people are handling this is not what's going to win them to Christ. Sympathy, care, sensitive words of gospel hope are important for us to think about. And if more isolation becomes more of the trend, let's pray for more open doors and for more gospel conversations. I'll confess to you, I was in a fast food line this week of a fast food restaurant that I'm not mentioning. But I was getting an ice cream cone, and there was a guy next to me waiting for his order. And he was talking about, yeah, it's crazy out there. And I totally blew an opportunity to try to talk about these things. I just wanted my ice cream cone at that moment, to be honest. And then afterwards, I thought, oh, man, I should have at least tried to talk about some of these things. This was earlier in the week, and, of course, things. But I'll tell you now, I'm thinking about, as I'm interacting with people, and I'm going to encourage you to be thinking about the same way, praying for ways to, as people bring up things, to be prepared to be sharing things, maybe even things that we saw this Sunday, things that we see in God's Word, be praying for conversations where we can speak of the hope we have in Christ, knowing that He's in control. And just to give you a small practical example, is sharing with our brother Pastor Dale, and he's there, and this was even before his surgery, and people are coming in saying, wow, you seem like you're in a good mood today. And Dale said to the nurse or whoever it was, well, that's because I know I'm not in charge, but I know who is in charge. And I said, and who is that, Dale? Because I was sitting there. He said, it's the Lord Jesus. And it was just, this person wasn't really interested in hearing much more about that. But I think we need to be taking those opportunities, and there's going to be all kinds of opportunities for us. And we want to be certainly in prayer for Pastor Dale and Marion at this time as well. But if you're not in Christ, you should fear. You should fear death. And beyond death, there is much to fear if you are not in Christ, if Jesus is not your Lord. Because Romans 8 ends with those who are in Christ, Jesus our Lord. It is bad news. And it's the bad news goes beyond what you're seeing on the news. The bad news is your sin has separated you from a holy God. You need good news. There's people also out there that we're going to be around this week who need good news. And just to give you an example of a current event and how the Lord Jesus used that to bring people to the good news, there was a time when a bunch of people died in Luke chapter 13. There was a time when one of them was a disaster, and one of them was actually a slaughter of a bunch of people in the temple. But they're asking Jesus about this disaster and how they should think about that. All these people who had been wiped out, and Jesus told them, do you think those who died were worse sinners than those who that didn't happen to? We're not to, and he's, the rhetorical point is, we're not to make that conclusion. We're all sinners. All of us are going to die. But Jesus says they're not worse sinners. But if you don't repent, you perish. Thinking about death, thinking about our frailty and the fragility of life, and that we're going to die, and that things may be more unpredictable is actually a good thing. That we can then talk about, are we ready? The hope that we have because we're ready, whatever that would look like. So one writer says, point them to the one who cares and can cure any disease, including the most fatal problem of all, which is sin. As bad as the coronavirus seems to be to many people, there is something far worse than an early death, and that is an eternity separated from God in hell. And so when the Tower of Siloam fell in Luke 13, Jesus didn't take the opportunity to mock those who were in fear, who were wondering and struggling and anxious because this had happened. Jesus didn't mock them for that. And at the same time, he didn't just say, oh, don't worry about it. He used that opportunity to call them to repentance and to teach us how to respond, to point them to their greatest need, to take those opportunities to talk about the most important thing. Psalm 1 talks about the wicked who are like chaff. If you know what chaff is, it just gets blown. A little bit of wind blows it. Chaff can't stop itself from being blown around. And so we're not to berate the chaff as it's being blown around. There's no anchor to hold on to keep them from panicking. But believers, Psalm 1 says, we're actually like trees. We're firmly planted by streams of water. We're trees that can bear fruit for others and be shade to others. And we can model what it means for those, Psalm 1 says, who are meditating on the law of God day and night. Those who are blessed. How blessed is that man who delights in the Word. And then we can use opportunities as we're those trees that have stability to pointing people to where that stability comes from. And it comes from the gospel. And so I know it's easy to get into political discussions. I know it's easy and maybe tempting for some of you to want to mock the over-the-top doomsday scenarios that some people are throwing out there. But I would agree with this author who says we need to keep our jokes to ourselves and do what we're called to do. The serious business of being gospel ambassadors, begging people to be reconciled to Him and praying that God would use this time to bring people to their knees and to cause us all to hope in Him rather than in this world. And so just think about it another way. And I'm just trying to think about different ways that we can talk about these things. There's actually something more lethal and widespread in the world that no man can mitigate or contain. We're talking about mitigation, containment, all these different things. There's an epidemic called sin that is already in every man, woman, and child. It doesn't discriminate, the same end result for all of them. And it was passed on from our first parents. Romans 5 actually talks about that. Man is never going to be able to come up with a cure for it. All are going to die. It's just a matter of time. And the Bible says the heart of sinners is incurably sick. Who can know it? Most in our world with coronavirus will recover, they tell us, but the corruption of sin will take us all out. The prognosis is 100% death and eternal death for those who aren't living in Christ's kingdom. And because of sin, the whole world could be judged at any time. When the Lord returns, and Revelation says, and there may be some figuratism there, but pouring out vials of wrath, plagues is some of the language there. But it's also clear in Scripture there is an antidote for man's pandemic sin problem. The antidote is the cross. It's the gospel. It's what Jesus did for us on the cross. Here's how one says it. The story of the Bible is the story of a God who entered a world infected with sin. He lived among sick people, not wearing a chemical protective suit, but breathing the same air as we do, eating the same food as we do. He died in isolation, excluded from His people, seemingly far from His Father on a cross, so that He might provide this sick world with healing and the hope of eternal life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live even though he dies. Do you believe this? That's the ultimate message. Do you believe this? If you don't believe this, if you're hearing my voice, whether live or later, and you've not yet committed your life to Christ, you're not right with Him, you're not sure of your eternal destiny, call upon the Lord. Come to Him. Trust Him. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior. Trust what He did for you on the cross, dying for your sin, rising again, that He's at the right hand of the Father. And you can be saved this very day. I'd love to talk with you afterwards, minister to you this week. Let's pray. Our Abba Father, we cry out to You. We ask that You would help Your people not to fall into fear that enslaves. Help us to know how to help this week as we talk with people. We see this world has fallen. We thank You that for us who are in Christ Jesus, who trust Him as Lord, there's nothing in this world that can separate us from Your love. And so may Your love compel us as Your ambassadors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.